بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: للرجال نصيب مما ترك الوالدان والأقربون، وللنساء نصيب مما ترك الوالدان والأقربون مما قل منه أو كثر نصيبا مفروضا. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: يا أبا هريرة، تعلموا الفرائض وعلموه الناس، فإنه نصف العلم، وهو ينسى، وهو أول شيء ينزع من أمتي. صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. My dear respected elders, brothers and friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our master, and we are his slaves. When a master speaks to his slave and he asks his slave, "What will you eat?" the slave responds and says, "I will eat whatever you give me to eat. I do not have a choice in the matter. I am your slave and you are my master." If the master has to ask, "What will you wear?" the slave responds, "I will wear whatever you give me to wear. I do not have a choice in the matter. I am your slave and you are my master." When the master asks, "Where will you sleep?" the slave responds, "I will sleep wherever you tell me to sleep. I do not have a choice in the matter. I am your slave and you are my master." وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ Allah has created us, has created the entire creation solely and only for His worship, for His recognition, to submit to Him. When Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam make a decision for us, make a decree for us, we do not have a choice in the matter. وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَدَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أمر أن يكون لهم الخيارة من أمرهم. That when Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decide on a matter, decree a matter for us, we do not have a choice in the matter. It is simply the decree of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is submission to Allah. This is submission to the commandments and instructions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In South Africa, the month of September, the week of September, that is from the 16th of September to the 20th of September, has been declared Wills Week by the Law Society of South Africa. Why has this been done by them? It has been done to encourage people to sign wills before they pass away. A survey had been done. 7 out of 10 people die without wills in South Africa. This is the reason this has been done. This has been done from a law society perspective, etc. What does Islam tell us about it? Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us and instructed us that it is not permissible for a person, a Muslim person, Muslim male, Muslim female, to let 2 nights pass without having his or her will kept and written with him. It is not permissible for you to do so. The importance of wills and estates in Islam. This is one of those fields where, as a Muslim ummah, we require education. We have to be educated regarding it. And more so from an Islamic perspective, it has so much importance, so much importance. If you study the Quran Kareem, Surah An-Nisa, it is one of those verses in the Quran that is so explicit, it is so clear, that there is no difference of opinion on this matter regarding the shares of inheritance in the Quran Kareem. To the extent Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has specifically mentioned the figures in the Quran. Amazing. Study the Quran. Allah has mentioned one third. Allah has mentioned one fourth. Allah has mentioned one sixth. Allah has mentioned one eighth. Allah has mentioned two thirds. All these shares have been mentioned in the Quran explicitly without any ambiguity whatsoever. That is why if a person has to reject, na'udhu billah, deny, na'udhu billah, the law of inheritance, he or she puts their iman at risk. Why? Because you are denying an explicit instruction of the Quran Karim. Now, let us look at the history of inheritance. At the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or rather in the time of Jahiliyyah and ignorance, there was a cultural practice regarding the distribution of inheritance. So, on one occasion, Aws ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu, he was in battle, he was fighting, and he became a shaheed, he became a martyr in the battle. He was survived by one minor son, two major daughters, and two paternal cousins. These were his heirs. Now, the cultural practice at the time was if you passed away, then there was a set criteria for people to inherit from your estate. So, what was the criteria? There were three conditions. The first condition was, if you were able to ride a horse. Number two, if you were able to fight in battle, in war. And number three, if you were able to collect the spoils of war, you would be entitled to inherit from the estate. So naturally, in this instance, his wife did not fulfill those conditions. His minor son did not fulfill those conditions. And his two major daughters did not fulfill those conditions. The next in line in relationship were his two paternal cousins. They come forward and they usurp the entire estate of Aws ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu. They usurp it, they take it away. She's left without a shelter. She's left without any income whatsoever. So she thinks in her mind, what do I do? I've got children to take care of. I've got to protect them. So she approaches these two cousins of Aws ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu and she makes a proposal. She says, listen, you've taken his wealth. I've got no finance in place. I've got no structure in place to take care of my daughters. Why don't both of you marry each of my daughters? In that way, the financial future will be secured. And I will be happy, there will be no issues. They refuse her proposal. Lastly and finally, what does she do? She goes to Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and she files a complaint. What complaint she files? That he went in battle, he fought for Allah's cause. And they come and they take everything away from me. At that point in time, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not have an instruction for her. This was that occasion, that moment, where the Quran Kareem revealed these verses of the Quran Kareem. لِلْرِجَالِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا تَرَكَ الْوَالِدَانِ وَالْأَقْرَبُونَ. That indeed there is a fixed share for a man, for a male, in whatever his parents leave behind and in whatever his relatives leave behind. Whenever the Quran Kareem speaks about males, the opposite gender is included. But on certain occasions, to ensure that there's no ambiguity, to make a point, to drive a point home, Allah mentions the female as well. وَلِلنِّسَاءِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا تَرَكَ الْوَالِدَانِ وَالْأَقْرَبُونَ مِمَّا قَلَّ مِنْهُ أَوْ كَثُرٌ. That indeed for females also, Allah repeats the exact same thing, that they have a fixed share in what their parents leave behind, what their close relatives leave behind. And added to that, Allah goes ahead and adds two more words, two more conditions. مِمَّا قَلَّ مِنْهُ أَوْ كَثُرٌ. Whether it is a small amount, whether it is a large amount, whether it is a substantial amount or a non-substantial amount, a female is entitled to inherit from the estate. So, these verses set the ground and the law and foundation for inheritance in Islam. And there's a lengthy verse afterwards, fixing the shares for each of one's heirs upon one's demise. So, this is the law of inheritance. And what happened at that point in time? The fixed shares were then allocated and allotted to these heirs of Aws ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu. Let us take the context of South Africa. If a person, there's two situations, a person passes away and dies with a will, a person passes away without a will. A person that passes away with a will in place, he dies testate. A person that passes away and dies without a will in place, he dies intestate. Now, what is the significant difference here? So let's take a scenario where a person passes away and is survived by a father, a mother, a spouse and children. It's a normal situation, a normal scenario. Islamically, in terms of the law of Sharia, in terms of the law of the Quran, who inherits by default in any and all occasions, your father inherits from your wealth. Your mother inherits from your wealth. Your spouse, that is either the husband or the wife, inherits from your wealth. And your children, your sons and daughters inherit from your wealth. This is the Islamic law. What's the distribution? The father, the mother receives 1/6 each. If the surviving spouse is the wife, she receives 1/8. If the surviving spouse is the husband, he receives 1/4. And the children receive the remainder of the estate on a 2-to-1 ratio. So the sons receive 2 shares each, the daughters receive 1 share each. Simple, straightforward scenario. This is in an Islamic distribution. This is when you have an Islamic will in place. If you pass away and you die intestate without a will in place or without a correct will in place, what happens is the intestate laws govern the distribution of your estate. How does this work? By default, in the same case and scenario, your father and mother are automatically excluded from the inheritance. First conflict with Sharia. Second conflict is now whatever is left behind, that is distributed equally between your wife and your children. So the wife gets an equal share or the child share, and the remainder again, the children will get equal shares. Second conflict with Sharia. This is just a straightforward example to show you and demonstrate to you the importance of having an Islamic will in place. Now, added to that, there are two scenarios. You registered your marriage according to the South African law, community of property, with or without accrual. Those are un-Islamic structures. Or you registered your marriage, ANC, with accrual. That is also an un-Islamic structure. The Islamic structure or marital regime is ANC, anti-nuptial contract, without accrual. In simple terms, just to explain to you, COP is when a person enters into a marriage and by virtue of the marriage, they share the assets of each other by virtue of marriage. This is un-Islamic. How can marriage be a business partnership? The second scenario is that, which is Islamic, is the ANC without accrual regime. So a person marries and whatever he owns remains his, whatever his wife owns remains hers. That's the Islamic distribution. That is the Islamic structure in place. Take that same scenario of COP and apply it to this case and scenario where a person dies intestate. Besides the wife now taking an equal share with the children, she gets an added 50% of whatever is left behind from the husband's estate. That's an added layer of non-Sharia compliance. So as you can see, the layers over and above, should a person not have an Islamic will in place? And why are we driving this point of an Islamic will? It is Will's Month, Will's Week. Many institutions are going to be telling you, have a will in place. Not many are going to tell you, have an Islamic will in place. There's a difference, big difference between the two. So in South Africa, we enjoy the right of freedom of testation. Freedom of testation, every person has the right to decide how his estate is to be distributed upon his demise. A person can pass away and leave his entire estate to his pet. And we've seen cases like that. Person passed away, left his entire estate to his pet. So you have the right. Ulama have said that it is wajib and compulsory for a person to have an Islamic will in place. Why? Should you not have an Islamic will, then automatically it's governed by the interstate laws which are in direct conflict with the laws of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is why you need an Islamic will. And this is why you cannot sleep tonight until you have that Islamic will in place. So, what happens when a person has an Islamic will in place? The Islamic will ensures that your estate is distributed according to the Islamic law of succession and inheritance. The courts, the master of the courts, no one can tell you what is Islamic law of succession and inheritance. The ulama, the institutes that are around, the reliable and reputable institutes, they are in a position to educate you and inform you and provide you with a certificate allocating the shares that each heir is entitled to upon demise. So you sign that will, it ensures that is in place, you are protected now from the interstate laws. The first charge to the estate is what? Is the funeral expenses of the deceased. Now, speaking to the brothers in the burial society, they will tell you, on average, it is between 3,000 to 5,000 rands. It's a nominal amount. Either this is now a first charge to the estate. Sometimes family members take it upon themselves to pay this amount. Or some external person will come and help and assist to pay that amount. First charge. Second charge to the estate is the burial expenses. What does that cover? It covers the ghusl, kafan and dafan. It covers the bathing, the shrouding and the burial procession of the deceased. That is what it covers. It doesn't cover anything over and above that. People nowadays want to feed on the first 3 days, feed for 40 days, so on and so forth. They give different types of food, etc. And sometimes this amount is taken out from the estate. This amount is taken out from the estate. It does not fall under the expenses of the estate. In fact, if this is done without the consent of the heirs, you would be usurping the hukuk and the rights of the heirs. It's such an important thing. We do not think about it. Because it's a moment of emotion. Someone has passed away, we are overcome by emotion. And then we want to do this and do that. If you want to do it from your own wealth. Do not take out from the estate. That money belongs to the estate. And the correct way of doing this is what? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has advised us in the hadith. That when a person passes away, then the close family members, or rather the neighbors, should provide food, etc. for the family that is mourning. Why? Because they are mourning. They are mourning more than you would be mourning. So in order to alleviate this burden, make something for them and make it easy for them. There's no instruction in the Sharia where you put up a big marquee and then you call the various cooks to cook for the entire family and make it into a feast. No, that is against the spirit of Sharia. You should be reading Surah Yasin. You should be reciting the verses of the Quran and sending the reward to the deceased. There is no basis for this in Islam. So that's the second charge to the estate. Remember, these come before everything else. These come before everything else. Hypothetically speaking, if that 3,000 to 5,000 rand is taken out from the estate for funeral expenses and burial expenses, and there's nothing left, no one gets anything. That is the first charge to the estate. Now, the second charge after funeral and burial expenses is what? Is debts. Debts are then paid from the estate. A few weeks ago, a brother called us and he informed us his income is 15,000 rands, but he's sitting with a debt of 2.5 million rands. How is that man going to pay for that debt upon demise? He'll be very lucky if someone steps forward or he has sufficient assets to pay for it. But in all likelihood, most of the time, no one is going to step forward to pay that debt. If he has to pass away at that point in time, his entire estate, whether it is his house, his car, or any other asset that he has, will be sold to pay off the debts of the estate. The heirs will receive zero, nothing. Why? Because he died in this state. And why is this matter so important? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, نَفْسُ الْمُؤْمِنِ مُعَلَّقَةٌ بِذَيْنِ, that the a'mal, the actions that are supposed to help and assist you in your qabr, they do not come to your help and assistance until the debt is paid. Now, you may know family members that may have outstanding debts, no one came forward to pay for it. Try and make that effort to pay off that debt, or try and encourage that family to pay off that debt. Because that person, instead of his amal benefiting him, is not going to help him in any way. You need to remove that blockage. You need to remove that barrier. That person is going to be questionable in the grave for it. And we live in a society where we are driven to live by debts and loans. How many times you get a call? How many times you get an email? We're offering you this loan and that loan and this facility and that facility. We are driven in this direction. Goes against the Islamic ethos and ethics of Islam. These financial advisors tell you, take the bank's money and roll it. This goes against the spirit of Islam. You do that and then you pass away. Who suffers? You suffer in the grave and your family suffers after you leave. And this is on a daily basis that's happening. So make sure your debts, when you pass away, you have no debts and you cover those debts. So that is the second charge to the estate. The third charge to the estate is what? Any wasiyas and bequests that you leave behind. That is now taken out from the estate. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us the instruction. It is limited to 1/3 of the estate. Now within that 1/3, there's two categories. You get the wajib compulsory category and you get the nafil optional category. Your wajib category is what? Mus salaz, mus zakat, mus qurbani, mus hajj. And you'll be shocked at the cases that we sit with at our offices regarding these matters. The amounts are large in numbers. Years of salah must, huge amounts of money that has to be given to offset those must salahs. We need to fill these things in the world and we need to make sure we daily we make qaza of those salahs, etc. Then the optional section is for any continuous charity, sadaqah, jariyah or other optional purposes. There are so many people that pass away and their family, the good that they do for the deceased, the father, the mother, whoever it is, stops there. Stops there that 3 days, stops there that 40 days, that first couple of months, that first couple of years. After that, we'll remember mummy and daddy, we'll remember papa and all of them when Eid time comes. Or we'll remember them when we go to the graveyard. Other than that, we don't remember them. So remember, do not rely. This is the reality. Do not rely on your family doing good for you after you pass away. That is the fact of the matter, unfortunately. Unless you have given your family good tarbiyah, you have done good and they continuously send reward for you, then no problem. By and large, you need to make the arrangements in place for you to continuously receive that reward in your grave. We talk about future planning. You talk about all these different types of financial planning. And where does all of that stop? Till your death. Study Islam and study the spirit of Islam. It teaches us not to think till we pass away, but to think 50 years down the line, 100 years down the line, 200 years down the line, 300 years down the line. Think to that extent that when I pass away and go in my grave, it's not the end of it. I want to continuously receive the reward in my grave 300 years later. Think that far and put processes in place for that to happen. Because trust me, very few people will do this for you when you pass away. That is the wasiyah section. And last and finally is the distribution of the estate, whatever remains behind. If anything remains behind, that goes to your heirs. Now, in South Africa, upon your demise, there are taxes, there's duties to be paid, there's estate duties to be paid. So, up to 3.5 million rand, duty free. After that is looking at the value of the estate, take everything and put it in there. Up to that amount, no estate duties, nothing goes to the government. After that amount, it rises, there's a scale, 20% upwards that is taken out from your estate and is given to who? It's given to the government. This is where we encourage you as the Muslim community to do estate planning. There are many mechanisms in place to avoid this, to reduce this, so that your heirs receive the maximum amount from your estate, so that your wasiyas can be fulfilled to the maximum amount. Should you not do that, 20% goes up, 25%, etc. is taken out from your estate, and that 20-25% that was supposed to be given to your heirs as their haq, as their rights, is now given to the government. This is why it is so important. We have come from Al Burhan today. We have prepared an Islamic will for you today. It has been vetted by our Darul Ifta. It has also been vetted by our legal team. We have saved you the cost and the time of going to a specialist to get it done. This will now covers everything that we discussed. All you need to do is sign the will, study it obviously, sign the will, witness the will, fill it in correctly before you sleep tonight. It's a simple, straightforward document that ensures the Islamic distribution of your estate upon demise. Who needs to fill it in? Adult males and adult females have to fill it in. One male cannot just fill it in. Everyone has to fill it in that is baligh and mature in your family. And yes, regularly you would update it in terms of the salahs, fast, etc. It's a very straightforward, simple document. It is not complicated at all. And do not be amongst those people that pass away without a will in place, without a valid Islamic will. So this year that is in front of you is a valid will in terms of Islamic law and a valid and legally binding will in terms of the South African law. So we save you all the trouble to do that. Take this on your way out and make sure you sign this will and keep it safely. There are many other issues to discuss. This will require several hours for us to delve into the subject and topic of wills and inheritance. But our message to you today, our appeal to you today is sign that Islamic will. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that when a person passes away and he leaves a will in place, mata ala shahada, that he passes away on being a martyr. He passes away on the sunnah. He passes away on the straight path. وَمَاتَ مَغْفُورًا لَهُ, and he passes away with all his sins being forgiven. And the flip side of it, مَنْ قَطَعَ مِيرَاثَ وَارِثِهِ قَطَعَ اللَّهُ مِيرَاثَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, that whoever deprives his heir of inheritance, as I explained to you, the different structures in place that can potentially deprive your heirs, قَطَعَ اللَّهُ مِيرَاثَهُ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, Allah will deprive him of his share from Jannah on the day of Qiyamah. Allah protect us. Allah grant us the understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.